When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Today's episode was recorded before the SAG-AFTRA strike began on July 14th. Table for Two thanks you, as always, for tuning in and supporting entertainers. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Table for Two. We are sitting at the Sunset Tower here on a very gray Los Angeles day. But that's okay. I'm super excited because today, a powerhouse New Yorker is in the house.
Do we really eat?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I'm a little hungry.
She's a Southern girl from birth, moved to New York in the 80s, went to Fordham, got a BFA, went to Yale, got an MFA. You've seen her in countless films. You've seen her in countless Broadway productions. She owns every scene she's in.
Oh, I'll have the Chinese chicken salad.
Ooh.
Are we drinking just water?
No. What we drink.
Yeah, glass of rosé. dry, you know, perfect.
She's outspoken. She is sexy. She's super talented. Today, we're having lunch with Patricia Clarkson. So sit back and enjoy. I'm Bruce Bozzi, and this is my podcast, Table for Two. Wow, this is a super special day in LA. And you want to know why, Patty? Because
why?
New York is in the house.
Oh, yes.
We are having lunch today, if you pulled up a chair, with the incredible, super talented, someone I always have a rock and roll time with, Patricia Clarkson. Can I call you Patty?
Oh, please. God.
Hi,
yes.
Patty.
Oh, please. Yes. Hey, darling.
Welcome to LA.
I'm so happy to see you again. I have to tell you, I've been looking forward to this, you know, because we were trying to juggle the dates and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was literally asking if we had worked out a date to talk with you kind of every hour on the hour.
Really?
Katie finally just said, Patty, we're going to figure it out with Bruce. Okay? We're going to figure it out. Okay?
Well, I mean, thank you. My God, that is such a compliment. And so but we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Have a movie that's Monica that we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's our rosé.
Okay.
Let's just be civilized.
I know. It's so nice.
I'm a Southern-born lady.
Oh, I so adore you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I adore you.
Oh, that's nice.
It's nice, right?
I feel better already. Well, I flew in last night. I had a COVID test. I'm like, well, because I have to, I'm doing a few other things after you.
This is a world.
But this is the highlight.
This is exactly. And this is the only time you're going to sit and eat. So, Patty, you're born in the South. Mm-hmm. You're a Louisiana girl.
Orleanian girl. Born and bred.
Girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You hit New York, mm-hmm. Fordham.
The 1980s. I hit New York.
Big decade for New York. A lot goes down. Mm-hmm. You also go to Yale. You get your MFA. So just talk to me about your New York. Like, what do you love about New York? I kind of want to know, like, also, like, what was that New York versus what is this New York?
Oh, wow. Well, I have to tell you the best story. So I come off to, I go to LSU, transfer to Fordham. Best decision I ever made. It was very hard for my father because I was 19. I left New Orleans, and it was my parents. I grew up very middle class, very, very, very middle class. And it was tough to get me to Fordham. But my beautiful.
Tough because. Financially, well, no, or just
yes.
Because,
tough okay. to. No, I had good grades, and my aunt, my beautiful aunt, rest her soul, my beautiful aunt Becky, was dean of admissions of Loyola in New Orleans. Okay. And she said, Patty, let's try to connect you to Fordham. So I didn't have to audition then, but I heard they had a very good theater program. So my parents gather the money. I go off to New York. Fordham has no dorm at Lincoln Center. So there's the Rose Hill, huge Rose Hill with many, and then there's Lincoln Center.
Right.
Guess where I lived?
Okay, wait a minute. Because it was a Fordham, and funnily enough, I just walked by Fordham about a week and a half ago, and I thought about that.
I think it's called the YMCA.
Did you really live in
Bruce, here I am, this Southern girl.
Right.
Like, really, not innocent, and well, a little bit. I mean, naive. I mean, I'd born and raised in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And New Orleans is very cosmopolitan and very cool, but... And very progressive, thankfully.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I get off to New York. I go to the YMCA. It's only ladies on one floor.
Okay.
The room was literally the size. You had to turn sideways to get into the room.
Wow.
And it was women of all ages. Mm-hmm. And we all showered together in a big pink old bathroom.
Really?
Just because of the door. And... It was the most depressing place you could have ever been in the history of depressing. And it was brutal. It was brutal. Oh. It's 64th and Broadway. Right. But I meet this woman, Viviana from Caracas. She's studying at Parsons.
Okay.
And she did not speak a lot of English, but she spoke enough English to say, we have to get out of here.
Oh my God. She did.
Well, showering with some of these ladies.
Was it like a big open shower?
Big, huge open
it was a
shower.
Big open, like,
you walked in
like
your
in
flip flops.
Right.
It spigots out the wall. And some of the ladies, you know, and there were people on drugs there. And it was, on Saturday nights, there were all these young men in the lobby.
Right.
And me, stupidly, I thought, oh, it's the Boy Scouts returning from a trip.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
really?
So
a lot was going down.
It was a lot. And I finally...
In those rooms,
we found an apartment on the upper...
With this woman.
With Viviana.
Viviana.
We found an apartment. There was a big bedroom. And even they were so kind to us, and they built a wall down the center. We each had our separate bedrooms. And... It was the best thing that happened. We got out of the Y, and that was New York for me. It was going to Fordham, no money. I had no money.
But like that is...
None.
Okay, so there's so many things that are inspiring about that. One is that it's very scary for parents. You're one of five sisters. You're the
youngest.
I'm
the baby
of
five girls.
And
now
your parents are like, okay, and now to say, I'm going to do this. There was no spoiled, entitled.
Mm-mm.
That might have been fear, but you're like...
I packed big old bags and went to, big bags and got there. I knew no one, but I met my mentor, one of my biggest mentors at Fordham, Joe Jozefsky. And he was in the theater department, a teacher.
Right.
I was taught by, Deborah Monk was my first acting
really?
Teacher. Deborah Monk,
Deborah
the great,
Monk? Sure.
The great, 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 gorgeous Deborah Monk was my first acting teacher at Fordham.
My God.
Okay. It was just, I loved Fordham.
Right.
I go back every year now and speak to the graduating actors every
really?
Year. I had to miss a few times here or there because I was shooting or something, but I just did it like a couple of weeks ago.
What were some of the shows that you did?
Pinter. I did the famous Pinter play, three characters, the au pair.
Betrayal.
Betrayal.
Yes.
So I did like Betrayal
yeah.
with Ron Marasco, the best actor ever at Fordham.
Okay.
I was in his shadow. And I mean, he's now an academic. He's brilliant, brilliant man, a Renaissance man. He's writer, actor, director. Anyway, but I became an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Jozefsky helped shape me, directed me, and had a gavel in my senior year. You know, and then I he's the one who told me, you will get into Yale. I said, no. People were telling me you have to have connections to get into Yale. Joe said, no, Patty, we're going to get the right two right pieces for you, and we're going to work your ass off for this, and you're going to get in.
So you knew then at Fordham when you were getting your BFA,
yes.
I assume, that you want, your next goal was MFA Yale.
Well, I always had, I never thought about film. I always thought about theater, and I knew how important studying was. And really, remember, I had only had 2 years at Fordham. I needed more depth and breadth of studying. And I thought, I just always had this thing about, well, if I could get into Yale. And I'll never forget the day I lived. So we found an apartment, me and Viviana, on 77th and Broadway. And Fordham is at 60th.
Yeah.
And I got that letter in the mail. I opened it at my little, our little table that was in our little apartment.
Yeah.
And it says, you have been accepted to the Yale School of Drama. I ran 17 blocks to Fordham.
To Joe.
Joe, and everybody was in a staff meeting, and I just went through the secretary. I just opened it in, and I said, Joe,
come on.
I'm in.
Right?
I'm in.
I mean, Patty, there's so much great. Like, I mean, first of all, like, remember that time in your life when everything, first of all, it was 1980. So for everyone to really
this
understand.
This was 82, now in 1982.
82, yeah. It's New York City. It's a very special time in New York City. Things are real, you know what I mean? And you're young, and we're young. Like that
I'm
time.
22.
Everything was just like, the world was.
Everything was before me.
Right.
And I had nothing to regret behind me.
Right.
So everything was forward. And again, my parents had to find, and I had a full ride to study at Rutgers.
Okay.
I had a full, I was offered a, I was offered a soap opera.
Okay.
I was, and my father was like, well, well, of course she takes Yale.
Right. What made you know that you wanted to continue with learning and studying as opposed to hitting? Did you see Broadway shows? I would assume
I
you were
did.
There.
And
why
I
didn't
saw
you
it. And you know what?
Just
I,
jump
I,
in.
You know what I saw? Like 12 times. And I had no money. I stood.
Yeah.
Dreamgirls.
I was trying
Jennifer,
to guess. I'm like, okay,
Jennifer.
Right.
It, yeah. Most people would think it was some straight. And
right.
I'm not a musical theater
right.
person at all.
Okay.
Just if I sang
right.
one note, you'd know immediately.
Yep.
I did dance when I was young. But Jennifer Holiday, that performance.
I saw that.
Just, it you, informed me
right.
in ways as an actor that I will never lose.
Thank you. So wait, a
oh
quick
my
beat.
Goodness. Wow.
You're eating.
That's how, that's
we're
well,
having
I'm,
some salads.
I have a very tight dress, a gorgeous Christian Siriano dress to wear tomorrow night, and I ain't going to fit in it.
Yeah. Maybe you're going to fit in that. You eat. Okay. So,
but anyway, so I'm. Yes, I'm
so
in
So when you
New
saw
York.
Dreamgirls, you're standing in the back.
Yes, and I
because when you, she hits that last closing song of Act One.
Me.
Okay,
she says that
and
last
I am telling
and
you.
And she's just, you know, it's the earth moves.
The earth moves.
And it's such a visceral, beautiful performance. And
so you didn't want to
change me. It just informed me as an actor. So I would go back and back and back. You know, it's what I just told
right.
the all the Fordham kids I just spoke to. I said, nobody was filming anything.
Right.
This is your cell phone is a death of you as an actor. I felt everything I saw. I didn't have to record it. It was my body, my soul,
right.
my mind was recording it. I will never forget Jennifer
right.
Holiday ever. I mean, Jennifer Hudson was wonderful also, but Jennifer Holiday is my
no,
person.
No, that
you know?
Was the 80s specifically and that show, which just
yeah.
blew it off the roof.
I had a rich friend
and I
who came to visit me, Kathy Smith, and her
right.
mother bought us tickets and
right.
I sat down
right.
to watch it
in
finally.
A seat. Like it's
I was
a big
just
deal.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like really good seats.
Yeah. So why didn't you just say, I'm ready? You know?
After Fordham.
Yeah, like I'm ready.
I don't know. I had this I had this desire to keep trying to hone my craft. You know, right. As actors, it is a craft. It is a muscle that needs to be flexed and toned and, you know, exercised.
Right.
But what we ultimately want is to make art. And right. I think it's hard. It's hard to take craft and lift it to right. art. It's hard.
How come every scene you're in, you own? You own. And clearly, it started at Fordham. Patricia Clarkson, when you're in a movie and you're in, and you've done a lot of theater and you've done a lot of movies, when you walk on, can you identify it? Do you know?
Do I? This is the only thing. I do know this as I've gotten older. And I hope this doesn't sound pretentious. I think as actors, we can only create so much and fake so much and kind of... I do believe that as we age, we bring more and more and more of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's essential. Mm-hmm. We have to marry life and art. Mm. And yes, there are times when we're outside the box of ourselves, but ourselves, we always have to... Our emotional life has to somehow mirror our own.
Right.
And maybe I'm comfortable. The body wants to shut you down when you act and you do these very big emotional scenes. Or when you're taking on, like when I was doing Sharp Objects,
right.
you know, these hideous scenes of poisoning my child.
Right.
The body wants to shut you down, but you have to actually you have to have the truth around it. You have to understand it. You have to understand it the way Patty would understand it, so then it actually is the way the character would understand
right.
it. And as I've moved forward in this world, I realize when I'm not present, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And as difficult as that is, I think that's the shame about acting, although things are dramatically changing in Hollywood.
Yes.
As we age, we get better because... we're able to just be there.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Welcome back to Table for Two. After earning not one, but two prestigious drama degrees, Patricia Clarkson began her professional life on stage. I want to know when she first sensed that her career was taken off. What's the first play you nailed, hit, cast, that you were like, holy shit?
You mean that I got?
Yes.
Well, House of Blue Leaves on Broadway.
All right.
I replaced Julie Haggerty right after they won. But I had auditioned for it originally, had given this crazy audition, got a standing ovation. But they went with Julie Haggerty. 9 months later.
You got a standing ovation in the audition?
In the audition. I mean, John Ware, they were so sweet. They were so sweet to me.
Holy cannoli.
And so I think I'm getting this. I bought a new dress. I had no money. I had my hair all, because I'm playing, you know, you can say the hearing impaired. She wasn't deaf. She was hearing impaired movie star, Corinna. And I fell out my chair and, you know, and I didn't get the part. And then 9 months later, after they win the Tony, Julie Haggerty's leaving to go do one of her big films at the time. And I have a message on my answering machine from Jerry Zaks. Patricia.
Jerry Zaks. Right.
We're giving you the part. You know, and it was $1,000 a week. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven.
Right, right.
I'd never made any money.
Right.
Like that.
That's
so
amazing.
I stepped in to House of Blue Leaves. I'd done a few plays off Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, some Richard Greenberg at EST, some beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then I got House of Blue Leaves on Broadway after, right after they won the Tony.
And is that sort of just?
And no, that I, and then I'm in that for 3 months, but then I have to leave it to go do The Untouchables.
All right. So she just kind of throws The Untouchables in. Okay, so the first movie this gorgeous woman across from me is in is a De Palma film starring Kevin Costner in his height of beauticiousness.
Yeah, I mean, he's
gorgeous.
He was so lovely.
How did, I mean, what, I mean, that's a huge thing. You nail it. Can you tell me about the process working with Brian De Palma, making out with Kevin Costner, anything you want to talk?
The famous great casting director who passed away not long ago. Anyway, it'll come to me. And I go in to read for him, and I kind of was a little dolled up. And he goes, listen, I think Brian would like you, but you need to come back in, no makeup, and don't wear that sexy dress.
Oh.
So I go out and buy like a Little House on the Prairie dress.
Really?
Seriously, like crunchy, like puffy sleeves and like a tie around the thing.
Right.
I walk in very unsouthern, like no makeup, like, oh, I hate my life. And and there's Brian De Palma. And the reader's there, but Brian reads Elliot Ness opposite me.
Okay.
And I think Brian liked the juxtaposition of my kind of, you know, deep voice, my kind of, you know, baritone, juxtaposed to my kind of, you know, upturned nose and, you know, and my big hair. I think he just liked that I was this sweet-looking person and I kind of had a little bit of a naughty voice.
Right, right. You do. You have a very gravelly, sexy, laugh.
So I walk out the room and the next thing I know is they're flying me. I'm now in the middle of doing House of Blue Leaves, but they're flying me to Chicago to meet Kevin Costner. I have a matinee I have to do, but they fly me on like,
so it's
seven.
Matinee.
No. Oh, 7 o'clock in the morning. I walk in again. I wear kind of like a plain Jane dress. I'm like, Jesus, and like these ugly shoes and no makeup. I'm like, oh God.
Right.
And I walk in and Kevin's kind of sweet. And he's like, I hear Brian loves you, Patricia. And I read with Kevin, and they tell me I have the part right in the room, but my agents didn't believe me. So I walk out, I'm like, I got the part. They're like, no, Patty.
Right.
I was like, no. They're not going to lie to me.
Right.
They would not lie to a Southern girl like with who walked in with no makeup and big hair. And of course, like, you know, I get back on the plane. I'm in my dressing room preparing for my matinee. I made it back for the matinee.
That's insane.
Okay. But I'd never flown like first class, really. I'd never had a car pick me up.
Right.
I had everybody just waiting on me.
Right.
I'd never had any of that.
Right.
So anyway, I get back to the dressing room and the phone rings. And my agent was like, okay, you were right. You got the part. But Bruce, it was wall to wall white men. Even my makeup artist was a white man.
Really?
Wow. Beautiful man, Mike Hancock.
Right.
beautiful, did beautiful. Everybody was male. My mother came to visit me and said, because my mother had business in Chicago at the time, and she came to visit me. She was like, Patty, I don't know if this is good or bad, but there's a lot of handsome men here. There's just nothing but men, if I can see. Are there any ladies here? are there any ladies in Chicago?
I mean,
it was just wall to wall. I was the only woman on the set. And then there was my mother for a day. And my mother was like, oh, hello. Brian was incredible to me. And I'll tell you what he did. And it still moves me to this day. I was broke and I was being paid, but minimum, you know, they got me for scale. But I was still struggling in New York City and he knew it. And he couldn't get me more money. But he told Paramount, he said, I think we need Miss Ness in the courtroom. I think we need her in the courtroom. And they said, well, we're not shooting the courtroom till a month. Mm-hmm. He said, well, I guess you're just going to have to pay her for a month because we need her in that courtroom. Mm-hmm. And wow. I got paid an extra month.
A whole month?
It saved me.
Yeah.
And I just sat in New York.
Right.
And went back and shot the courtroom.
Right.
But I got paid.
Look at that. Makes me so happy.
That was Brian De Palma.
Right. That was Brian De Palma.
Till this day. Right. Yeah. He's my hero. He was amazing. Amazing to me.
You bring up something that's so obviously changed, which is a white male set. And mm-hmm. that was, you know, obviously probably over the last 10 years,
massive.
How has that now been for you and work and the whole movement of really diversifying the place, the movie set?
It's the best thing that's ever happened in Hollywood. It's single. It is the best thing. The best part of Hollywood now is its diversity. On camera, off camera, we still have a way to go. But I'm telling you, off camera, the things I've shot recently, everybody is reflected.
Right.
When you go to a movie set, you want to see yourself reflected in all the people.
Completely.
Because the crew is part of your life. You see them every day for 12, 14 hours a day, and often you're working for no money.
Right.
What are you there for if you're not reflected
right.
in all of the people on that set? Or more importantly, if you're not reflected on film. Now, sometimes, you know, we have to do things that don't include people of color. If we're talking something historic, but something important.
Right.
But, you know, as a white woman, but an older white, like there's older people now on sets. It used to just be really young people. I mean,
right.
young white guys and some old guys that ran the show.
Right.
And now it's older women who are not giving up their careers, beautiful makeup artists and beautiful costume designers and beautiful set designers. All of these women of many nationalities, we still have a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the best thing that's ever happened in Hollywood is the diversity.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
I'm late for a very important meeting. couldn't be.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish. Yeah, I can drive. My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Thanks for joining us back on Table for Two. Patricia and I have had a wonderful lunch talking about her career on Broadway and the silver screen. All of a sudden, when I mention Chelsea Handler, in passing, she calls her her hero. Let's find out why.
I'm a 63-year-old, single, straight, Southern woman who never married and never had children. Mm-hmm. You know that man who's got the squeaky voice who says she must be the most unhappy woman in the world?
Right.
Come to our house one night and see just how unhappy Chelsea and I are.
Right.
I mean, look, I have so many sisters who have beautiful children, and they now have beautiful children.
Right.
I love being an aunt.
Right.
I love it more than, probably more than acting, which is odd.
Right.
Okay, they're on par. Okay, but but I'm telling you, these are gorgeous children, but that doesn't have to define every woman.
You know what? Like, you're right. You made a choice.
I made a big choice.
You didn't want to have kids. You didn't want to.
I made, but I knew it when I was young.
Right.
And I've had beautiful men in my life, and I thought about it with this one artist I dated towards. I was like 38. I had a window.
Right. But what do you mean a window?
Well, a window to have a child. I was 38, so I had a window.
Yes. Okay.
But in the end of the day, I loved working, and I grew up with great parents who sacrificed everything for me.
Right.
And you have to really be committed to having children.
Right.
You have to be a great parent. And I was afraid I couldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to fail at being a parent. I'm fine failing as an actor.
Right.
I didn't want to fail as being a parent. But look, I'm a Southern woman. But let me tell you who's the coolest about it is my mother.
Right.
Like my mother, my father. My mother said, Patty, I just don't want you to wake up at 50 and be unhappy. I woke up at 50 in stilettos and a thong.
High five. Yeah. Let me tell you. No, seriously.
No, I mean, no. I had great, sexy ass
honestly,
life.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I'm just saying is, and it's not that my whole life is that. I'm just saying is, I love being an aunt.
Right.
I love being a sister. I love being a daughter. I love being a great best friend.
Yes.
I'm a very good friend,
I
think. It's not what I wanted to define me because I didn't want to fail.
I also just watched for the first time Pieces of April. And my question around that, it was a serious family. You're sick with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Holmes is sort of like...
Oh, and delicious. And
delicious.
Katie was delicious. Yeah.
You come from a family of five sisters. Like, are the traditions that like, you know, this was about Thanksgiving and this was about the complexities of it. Does your family... And it was a great movie.
Yeah.
So all of you should see it. And
we all have
what
in the
are
South.
Your
well, my mother, she doesn't cook anymore. You know, my parents are still with
me.
They're 87.
Amazing. Yeah,
they're incredible. my mother doesn't cook anymore, but, you know, it was always, you know, she was going to make Merloton crab meat. She's going to make jambalaya, but very specific. You're very going to make very specific jambalaya. Right. Not a Cajun. People conflate Cajun and Creole.
Ah.
I'm Creole.
Right.
We grew up with Creole cooking. Creole is the Spanish and French influence that really landed, well, was throughout the people.
Okay.
It is, you know, the people of New Orleans are a real gumbo. They are such a mixture. Right. And that's the beauty of this city. But the cooking, like my mother never saw sausage in her life. You know, they did not cook. My mother didn't cook with sausage.
Right. Really?
No. Everything was crab meat, shrimp.
That's all Cajun.
That's all Cajun is sausage and
andouille.
Meat.
Andouille.
Right, andouille. Yeah, yeah. No. My mother cooked, you know, Creole.
Right.
So everything we ate, we had big, you know, and my mother never allowed a container on the table, like ketchup. Everything right. had to be, even though we were like, but my mother had nice things. Because she was given nice things from like her bubby, from her, you know, from down the line. But, you know, we were living in the suburbs of right, Algiers right. outside yeah. New Orleans, right. going to public school.
Right.
But we still, a ketchup bottle was not allowed on the
right.
table. I'm like, Mom, I think we can put a ketchup table on.
No.
No.
Were the Clarkson sisters kind of wild?
No. Well, we were all very different, but we all have the same timbre of voice. Like if all my
really?
Sisters, any of my sisters walk in, it just got deeper and deeper and deeper. As it went.
The baby got the deepest.
But no, we all have these kind of deep voices that I think we got from my grandmother on my father's side. We are very close. We were all like, 16, 18 months apart.
Right. Wow.
We were all like
Southern
five of
families,
us. We were all, you know, we were born with.
Popped them out.
You know, there were five sets of hot curlers, five sets of, you know what I mean? We boxes of Tampax everywhere. My father, I mean, like we just, like our whole house was curlers and Tampax
right.
and pantyhose.
Curlers, Tampax, and pantyhose. That's your memoir. That's the name of your memoir.
Oh my God.
I love that. Now, was there like any that, like, did you have any like sparring with one in particular?
Oh, yes. Well, Kevi, my older sister, my sister was just ahead of me. Her name is Kevin. My mother in 1958, named my sister Kevin Elizabeth. She knew a little girl named Kevin. How cool was that? First of all, because my father was never going to have a boy. So he said, well, we'll give her a boy name. Buzz, that's my dad's name. Buzz, it'll be close enough. All right. But Kevi and I had to share clothes and share a room. And as we got into teenage years
right.
and hormones racing,
right.
racing,
right.
and we even, I think, one year had to share hot curlers. Okay. I mean, we had to share everything. And that was rough. But, you know, my mother and father didn't. My mother wasn't working at the time when we were growing up. My father was working, and he was running a children's home.
Right.
And we didn't have money,
right.
you know. So we sparred, we would fight, but my fiercest, staunchest defenders till the day I die, if something bad happens to me in this industry,
mm-hmm.
my sister's like, Patty, I don't care. I hate that. You know, I mean, they
yeah,
defend me to the death.
You don't want to mess with this.
You do not want to mess
yeah.
with the Clarkson girls.
Oh, no.
No. So they're beautiful.
So let's talk. You are starring in Monica.
Well, I mean, the star is Trace Lizette,
sure.
but I am a bigger, I'm
a big
supporting character.
Yes.
Very
big. Well,
yes.
It's a huge supporting character,
yes.
and it's really kind of the emotional thing around
yes.
it.
I had to carry a lot of the emotional weight
yeah.
hinged on this character.
And yes. again, Patty Clarkson, just, you own it. Honey, you just own it. You've always been a very strong advocate for the LGBTQ plus
always,
community.
Always.
Always.
Always. Always. Always.
Talk to us about this movie and about the complexities of the story.
I'll tell you, Bruce, if I can get through this without crying, and it's taken a part of me. Being in this film right now at this moment when I watch, you know, that beautiful woman who was just silenced on the Montana
yeah.
floor for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I met Andrea Palloro. He was like you, Bruce, just a gorgeous man physically and a fierce and just a beautiful director. And I met him long ago at Marrakesh when I was on the jury. And he said, I want to work with you someday. And then he finally cast Trace. And then he came to me to play the mother. And I said yes in one day. I literally said yes by the end of the day, or maybe the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so Trace and I were attached to this film for quite some time, but raising money for a transgender film is hard.
It's hard. Can you take a beat and explain Trace, so everyone who's listening can understand?
Trace is a beautiful transgender actress, the real thing. Right. We finally have a transgender actress, and I'm not denigrating anybody else who played transgender. You know, we were politically incorrect often in Hollywood.
Right.
I mean, it's not new to all of us. We've all been, at moments, politically incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
But she is a absolutely beautiful, inside and out, beautiful transgender woman. And this story, grew up in Ohio, this story of Monica echoes hers. She's still playing a different woman, but she left home also, like Monica. So the story of the movie is she's an 18-year-old, leaves home, is not well-treated by the father. I don't know that I did the best I could as the mother. There is guilt and shame in my world. She transitions on her own, which must have been brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, she's returning home to me because I'm in the final stages of cancer. And this is brutal cancer. It's brain cancer. I'm in the final stages and I'm dying. And I think she's hospice. This beautiful woman comes in. I have a nurse played by the great Adriana Barazza, who was in Babel. And anyway, it's a pas de deux to where we get to. But Trace, you know, Andrea auditioned many, many, many people. And then he got to Trace and he found Monica.
Sure.
And very, you know, there was no question. She is, and she's so beautiful and subtle and truthful and open and available. And, you know, I've been asked before, how did you do these emotional scenes? And I say, well, she was, the love I have for her off screen is on screen. The reverence and the respect I have of what she went through to get to where she is now moves me to the core. And so it was very emotional. The whole shoot of this movie was very emotional because we're dealing with the real thing and someone who has made this remarkable transformation. But, you know, I tell you, Bruce, I don't think a transgender person's life is up for debate. They are Americans. They are free to be here and free to be themselves. That's why we fight. We're born here and stay here, or we fight. People lose their lives fighting to get to this country to be persecuted? They're fleeing persecution. What the hell are we doing persecuting people in this country?
Right.
How do you know how that person feels deep inside? They know. Their parent knows often. Their doctor knows. Whenever they transition, that is their choice.
Yep.
That is their freedom. Everybody balks about freedom.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything more American than being transgender. There's nothing more beautiful than being transgender.
Yeah.
You have made it to the life you've always wanted. You know, Trace Lizette is a beautiful, beautiful woman. And I said, someday, Trace, you know, you are carrying the banner and the flag. Thank you, God, for the transgender community. She's so beloved in the transgender community. It's, you know, it's very moving to me, you know, to be a part of all of this. But at the end of the day, someday Trace will just be two actresses playing spies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's ultimately her goal is just to be an actress.
Right.
She's just a beautiful woman in this world navigating a career.
Right. Completely.
I've had such an incredible lunch with Batty today. I so admire her passion and how much she cares about others. Before we go, she and I talk about how it took a while to get the funding together for Monica, and how that led to a very interesting casting decision.
You know, this movie had no money.
Right.
And you know that the dog in the film is my own dog.
No, I did not know that. That's Izzy.
No, Izzy.
Well, I should have known that from when we did.
Yes.
Because I remember seeing Izzy.
But Andrea took us quite a while to get some money together. So Andrea would see Izzy in New York. He'd see her at the chateau because she just owned the chateau. She roams free. And she's like Eloise
right,
at the Eloise. Plaza.
Oh, my God, I love that.
And
you've made Izzy a star.
No, I have. And she passed. And so
she did? Yes. I mean, you just threw that
on
me.
I know. Sorry.
I mean,
and
holy
she had
cannoli.
She had paniculitis, a kind of a dog form of lupus. And
sorry.
But she lived to do the movie.
Yeah, she had a good life,
yes,
it sounds like.
And she was so sweet during the filming. No, and it was very hard. Everybody in New York who's coming, you know, all my friends, they're all coming. I said, bring Kleenex.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you know,
Kleenex.
Because when you, well, for other reasons, but when you're going to see Izzy,
yeah,
and they all loved.
Oh, right.
She was the love of every single friend of mine.
Really?
Everybody loved Izzy. Everybody, because she was like, it was like she was like a little black fawn. I had like a black fawn in my house or something.
You know, Patricia Clarkson. As we sort of, I know you have a very busy day. I want to say that not only do I know you're one of the most talented human beings on the silver screen, on a Broadway stage, you are completely one of the kindest, most just generous humans, and I love running into you on Sixth Avenue. I love sitting with you on Hollywood. And thank you so much. And I admire your courage and everything that you've done from that YMCA shitty dorm room to this movie. Thank you so much.
You realize everything's going to be downhill from here on out. But I'm taking the rest of my chicken salad.
You're taking the salad home. All right, everyone. Thank you for pulling up a chair today
with
Miss Patricia Clarkson.
Thank you.
Table for Two with Bruce Bozzi is produced by iHeartRadio, 737 Park, and Airmail. Our executive producers are Bruce Bozzi and Nathan King. Table for Two is researched and written by Bridget Arsenault. Our sound engineers are Paul Bowman and Alyssa Midgaff. Table for Two's LA production team is Danielle Romo and Lorraine Virez. Our music supervisor is Randall Poster. Our talent booking is by Jane Sarkin. Special thanks to Amy Sugarman, Uni Scher, Kevin Uvain, Bobby Bauer, Allison Cantor-Graber, Barbara and Jen, and Jeff Klein and the staff at the Tower Bar in the world-famous Sunset Tower Hotel. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.